show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
And we want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. It is time to talk some college basketball and relive one of sports' greatest moments. I mean, how can we forget the 1992 NC2A basketball tournament clash between Duke and Kentucky and the Blue Devils' Christian Laettner when he sank that miracle game-winning shot? It certainly is a beautiful memory and moment in all of college basketball. And we are so delighted to have with us this weekend ESPN's senior columnist for ESPN.com, and he is a contributing writer for ESPN, the magazine. Gene Wojciechowski, who has just released this new book. It's great to have you along with us, Gene. I hope I won't tear up your name too much.
No, that wasn't bad at all. Believe me, I've heard a lot worse.
This is a compelling read, and there's a number of highlights from this particular game. It's something I certainly, as a former basketball player at the University of Oklahoma, I'll never forget. I remember exactly where I was watching it. And I know that you have covered, you know, college basketball for over 30 years. There has been some dandies of games. This is a historic game. Where does this rank in your mind?
To me, it's the greatest college basketball game of all time. To a lot of other folks who have seen a lot more games than me, they consider it the greatest college basketball game of all time. I was actually covering that game. I was working for the Los Angeles Times, and I remember when it was done, I just sort of, you know, had to take a breath. I knew I had seen something special and historic and legendary almost. And you, when you look down that press row that night, everybody sort of had the same look on their face of disbelief that they really had seen something, you know, truly extraordinary. And we don't get to do that very often in our business. And that game has held up, you know, 20 years later. It's amazing. It's already the 20-year anniversary. But I kind of wanted to write a 20-year love letter to that Kentucky program and to that Duke program and to that game and that season. So it was a labor of love, and it was an honor to talk to those guys. I did about 100 different interviews for the book, and so to tell those backstories, it was a great experience for me, and I hope I did the game and those teams and that season justice.
And Gene, you had told me earlier that it was a 2-year process. Kind of share for all of our listeners, set the stage about just how special this game was. The title of Gene's book is The Last Great Game, Duke versus Kentucky, and the 2.1 seconds that changed all of college basketball.
Well, you have to put those times in context. And in 1991-92 season, you know, Kentucky several years earlier had basically been kneecapped by NCAA sanctions. They had come as close as you can to getting the death penalty without actually getting it. And Rick Pitino came in there. He left the New York Knicks.
That's right.
Boyhood team. I mean, he grew up on Long Island. And he went to what he called the Roman Empire of college basketball, except when he got there, you know, the empire was in absolute ruins. And then Mike Krzyzewski, who had gotten an earlier head start at Duke, had slowly and patiently built his program into not a dynasty, but, you know, a program that was perennial Final Four participants. But he was almost fired 3 years into his stay at Duke, which is remarkable when you think about it now. But, you know, he had won the national championship, finally won a national championship in 91, and now he was going for the rarity of rarities, you know, a back-to-back championship. And in college basketball at the time, that just simply didn't happen very often. So Kentucky stood in the way of that quest. And sort of this ragtag team, in a way, that Pitino had put together of, you know, Kentucky kids who stuck around, who had no place else to go when the NCAA basically, shut down that program in many ways. They stood in the way of Duke in that quest for the back-to-back. So they were two different kind of programs, but yet it was still Duke, and it was still Kentucky, the absolute thoroughbreds of college basketball, but different rosters, different kind of coaches, and completely different kind of dynamics.
Gene Wojciechowski is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. This interview is being powered by our friends at Pinnacle Bank. We want to direct you to their website. That is Pin Bank Texas. Duke.com. And, you know, we talk about Kentucky, but Duke, let's zero in on that star player. And, of course, that is Christian Laettner. He is a Duke legend and, of course, hits that shot with 2.1 seconds remaining. You know, what a special guy. What did you, you know, chronicle or share in the book that perhaps we don't know about Christian?
Well, he's a polarizing figure. I mean, in college basketball itself, but especially even within his own program. I mean, he imposed his will on that team, and there were players that resented it. He was, his nickname, and I can't repeat it on the air, but it wasn't complimentary nickname. The players, even his own teammates, literally wanted to beat the crap out of him often because he simply didn't care. He would do whatever he had to do to make you a better player, and if he had to be a jerk to do it, he was more than happy to do so. And the dynamic between him and Bobby Hurley, the star point guard for Duke, was a fascinating character study, and how he terrorized Hurley and he terrorized that team. But we think of Laettner, and he was People Magazine. He was on the list of 50 most beautiful people, you know, in the country. But he came from very humble beginnings outside Buffalo. I mean, he spent his summers basically as a farm laborer, getting 50 cents a bushel. You know, I mean, he did not come from a rich family by any means. And when Mike Krzyzewski came for his recruiting visit to his house, his family didn't have a dinner table. They had a ping pong table, and they covered it up with a sheet.
Wow.
They didn't have a light over the table. They held up one of those lights that you put like on when you're working on your car engine, you know, or, you know, underneath your sink, you know, like a plumber's lamp. And Krzyzewski saw it and said, "Oh, a Polish chandelier." And you know, so it was humble beginnings for Laettner, and we think of him as this sort of prep school, you know, kid with the good looks who made the shot of the ages. But he came from a poor family, and he had a chip on his shoulder, and he used that chip to propel him into absolute greatness.
Well, Gene, and I got to ask you, because I've got some real curiosity. I think of Bobby Hurley, and, you know, he's got that swagger, that moxie when he bring the ball up the floor. But how did Christian Laettner, you use the word terrorize, how did he terrorize him?
Well, Bobby was a sensitive guy, and he was a quiet guy. And you know, he did not wear his emotions very easily. And Laettner was resentful to a certain extent that Krzyzewski basically had handed him the keys to the Duke team and said, "This is your team," when Bobby was a true freshman. And from that point on, Laettner said, "Okay, I'm going to make him prove it." And so he would challenge Hurley at every step of the way. And he would do things just to annoy Bobby. And he would do it to see how he would react under pressure. And he did that because he knew that Duke would always play an extremely difficult non-conference schedule, an extremely difficult ACC schedule, and he was trying to get Hurley ready in his own clumsy Neanderthal way, getting him ready for the NCAA tournament and all the pressures that would be in that. So it was as if Christian were sort of an amateur psychologist, and he was trying to expose all the flaws of Hurley and make him tougher and be able to perform under the pressures of the postseason. And so it wasn't very pretty to watch sometimes, but he did it, and Hurley did become a better player because of it.
What is Christian Laettner's relationship now with Bobby Hurley?
Of course, it's softened over 20 years. And you know, they got together a year or two ago, and they were you know, having a couple beers together, and they got kind of I don't want to say, you know, weepy, but you know, the emotions flowed out, and you know, all those hard edges that were there, those sharp edges that were there in 92, you know, had been whittled and sanded down over time, and so, you know, they're all brothers in their own basketball brothers in their own way, but back then, you know, Laettner was the big brother, and he acted like a big brother to Hurley, and he was tough on him. But over time, you know, the friendship is there, and it's clear and it's obvious and it's real and it's sincere. But back in the day, it was a personal war between those two.
Only a few more moments this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with the senior national columnist for ESPN.com. He is the contributing writer with ESPN the magazine, Gene Wojciechowski. We're so glad he's telling us a little bit about his brand new book that's just been released, The Last Great Game, Duke versus Kentucky and the 2.1 seconds that changed all of basketball. I know you've got to have in this book a great Mike Krzyzewski story.
Well, yeah, there's a hundred of them, but but one of them that sticks out is, you know, he was mentored by Bob Knight, and he ended up replacing Bob Knight at West Point. And when Duke went looking for a coach, Bob Knight is the guy who recommended him to the Duke athletic director, and the Duke athletic director said, "But he was 9-17 last season. How can I hire a guy that was 9-17?" But the more that he talked to Krzyzewski, and they did three separate interviews in three different places, he just couldn't get Krzyzewski out of his head, and so he hires him. But Krzyzewski takes the job and doesn't even bother asking how much he's going to get paid. So when he talks to his wife, Mickey, and says, "Look, they offered me the job," and she goes, "Well, okay, Mike, what are they paying you?" And he goes, "Well, they offered me the job." And he goes, "Mike, what are they paying you?" He goes, "I didn't ask." I mean, that's unheard of these days. In these days of super agents, right, coaches getting these unbelievable sums of money, he just wanted the job. His annual salary his first year was $40,000. You know, what he makes now is 10 times that. I think he makes more than $4 million bucks a year now. So it's incredible the trust that he had and the leap of faith that Duke took with him and the leap of faith that Krzyzewski took with Duke. So I love that idea that he didn't even care how much they paid him. That's how much he wanted that job.
We are flat out of time as we are wrapping up our radio interview with Gene Wojciechowski. And, of course, his new book out is The Last Great Game, Duke versus Kentucky. Direct all of our listeners, Gene, where they can go and get a copy of this book.
Go on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com or your local bookstore or ebooks. But if you go on ESPN.com and go to the home basketball page, you'll see it down in the middle of the page, and there's links to everything. And, as always, I'm curious to hear what readers think, so feel free to email me with your thoughts. And I hope people enjoy the book.
Well, you certainly have received a lot of high praise. I mean, I love some of the reviews. I mean, they talks about how it recaptures the energy of one of sport's greatest moments. So congratulations on that. And, Gene, what other projects you got coming up in the future?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm going to go to a Duke-Virginia game tonight. And
fun.
I'll do something that I rarely do. I'm just going to be a fan. I'm going to sit in Cameron Indoor Stadium and just have fun and just watch basketball as a basketball fan rather than as a writer. And that's, to me, just being able to do that is going to be a real treat.
Enjoy the night, and we certainly enjoy your work. Thanks again, Gene, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure.
We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment with Jason Peter.